The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over every unclean spirit, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter into no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Hear the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff for laborers. For laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy, and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
In the name of the one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. One of the ways we describe our life in faith is as a journey. All throughout the Bible, we see images of a journey. There's the epic journey of Abraham and Sarah from Ur in present-day Iraq, what was then the center of ancient civilization, to what was to become the promised land of Israel. Later, the Israelites escaped from slavery in Egypt, trekking for many years through the wilderness of Sinai on their return to the promised land, which none of them had ever seen. And in the New Testament, Paul makes his way across the Mediterranean world, spreading the good news of the gospel and proclaiming in the profound words of our epistle for today that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Jesus is also on a journey in our gospel today. He travels about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the realm of God. There's a note of urgency in his travels, for our Lord knows the anxieties and helplessness of the people. The harvest is plentiful, he says, but the laborers are few. And without the harvest to feed them, the people will starve. So Jesus commissions his newly minted apostles to enter the harvest and to journey to the people with his message of the realm of God. His instructions to the apostles, direct and insistent, begin with one word: go. No ifs, ands, or buts, just go. And as you go, proclaim the good news. Avoid for now Gentile and Samaritan alike. Make a beeline instead for those in need of the Lord's comfort, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. To these lost sheep, the apostles are to proclaim that the realm of heaven has come near. Now, Jesus wasn't saying that the Gentiles and the Samaritans weren't important or in need of the Lord's comfort. One just has to read the rest of the Gospels to see how Jesus did, in fact, reach out to Gentiles. Jesus did, in fact, not only reach out to Samaritans, but he used them as an example of righteous behavior. But right now, at this point in time, it was the lost sheep of the house of Israel who were in the greatest need. They were the ones in the most need of the peace of God. They were the ones who were harassed and helpless. Unlike earthly realms, which are subject to war and dissension, the realm the apostles proclaim brings reconciliation and peace. Yet, this realm of the heart is not pie in the sky. It is the promise and proclamation made anew to each generation of God's people. It is the fulfillment of covenant. The realm is still near to those who seek its comfort today. It's not bound to this earth any more than we are. Its gates are opened wide in spite of, or as I think about it, perhaps because of the fact that our sin and our despair is just so deep. We have a share in this realm as God's people. If the crowds of Jesus' day were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, as our Lord describes them, the people of our world are hardly less anxious and fearful. As a matter of fact, we are even more so. 2,000 years may have come and gone, but the human heart has not changed all that much. Our communities are still fractured by mistrust and suspicion. Violence and war tear us apart. Diversity and distinctions among peoples and individuals do not bring joy and wonder at the greatness of God's work among and within us, but instead are stumbling blocks to understanding and harmony. Kindness and generosity of spirit and caring for others has, in way too many places, been replaced by a sense of personal privilege. If it's inconvenient for me, the heck with everyone else. I don't care if I give you COVID. I'm not a person of color, so why should I care what happens to them? I'm not LGBTQ, so why should I worry about marriage equality or basic human rights for transgender persons? But in the midst of human misfortune and pain, the realm has still come near to each of us. The harvest of which our Lord speaks is full, and it's ready to be gathered in. Then, as now, it is not so much a harvest of grain and grapes as it is of spiritual nourishment and sustenance found in the nearness of God. The laborers are still few, but go and proclaim, commands our Lord, nevertheless. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. There is a story that many, many, many years ago, hundreds of years ago, some missionaries went to Japan and they started converting mass numbers of people. And the emperor got scared, so he kicked out those missionaries. And the only thing they had enough time to do was to translate the Gospels into Japanese. So these fledgling Christians just absorbed that gospel so much. And when they read, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, they said, oh, okay, that's what we're supposed to do. So they started raising the dead. Well, finally, missionaries were invited back in by the emperor, and when they got there, they said, no, you're not supposed to be doing that, and they couldn't raise the dead anymore. Faith, no small task, but then we don't need to travel far to find those in need of the good news of the realm. They are as near to us as is the realm itself. In fact, they are the realm. But if you are in this only for your own place in God's realm, then you're in for a very rude awakening. The joy that the apostles felt when they returned to Jesus was short-lived. In the hymn, they cast their nets in Galilee. I will not sing it for you this morning, and you could thank me after the service. It says, contented, peaceful fishermen, before they ever knew the peace of God that filled their hearts brimful, and broke them too. Young John, who trimmed the flapping sail, homeless on Patmos died. Peter, who hauled the teeming net, head down was crucified. The peace of God, it is no peace, but strife closed in the sod. Yet let us pray for but one thing, the marvelous peace of God. Yes, the laborers are few. At least laborers who are truly faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while it may seem that we are a part of the chosen ones of God, and our entry into the realm of heaven is guaranteed, it is not. Entry into that realm is not easy. It requires commitment to the covenant we have made with God at our baptisms. Entry into the realm of God is not through pearly gates. It is through the cross of Christ. Amen.
Amen.